Our deepest apologies to Sean Gentile for being a little late coming into this segment, but he's used to it by now, isn't he?
Don't
limits?
Care.
And there he is,
Don't
Joe.
Care.
You can see
there
Sean.
Oh, my God.
Matter. Don't care.
There he is on our YouTube channel, looking dapper as always, Sean Gentile of The Athletic, late of the Post-Gazette, and perhaps every other publication in town. Where else have you worked, Sean?
It was Sporting News and then the Post-Gazette. And
Sporting
then,
News, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Did Ron ever learn to pronounce your name?
I'm not even sure he knows who I was. We worked together for several years. He just got me mixed up with Batco, I think, for most of it.
Thoughts on Ron not returning Mark Cabali's text for several months now?
Several months?
Yeah.
Like, how, like, 6, 7, 9? Does he return your text? That's the bigger question. Have you reached out to Ron lately?
I don't text him, so there's no issue there. Cabali, probably 4 or 5 months or so.
Let's put this to the test. I'm going to text Ron right now. Hey, Ron, just wanted to check in, see how you were doing.
You may never, ever get a return.
I don't know,
Joe. We'll be sitting here 10 years from now.
When I was in Miami for the Orange Bowl, Ron returned my text an hour later.
Oh, all right. We'll put that to the test.
You can say a former coworker of yours is on with Joe right now. Guess who? And see how long it takes him. We would be here until the sun went down.
Probably.
Doesn't know who I am.
Did he ever address you even with a hello, a cursory hello?
I think maybe there were some head nods exchanged over the course of our 3 or 4 years together. Yeah, but I think we sat next to each other on a plane once, but minimal interaction.
Yeah. Well, his loss for sure. Limits, do we have Andrew Filippone talking about O'Neal Cruz and how he's rooting against him tonight?
We do.
I don't want O'Neal Cruz to win the home run derby. I don't want him to have this moment. I'm not pulling for him. He's not someone I want to see get the $1 million payday.
Basically, and I hope I'm not misrepresenting Pony's rationale here, is that Cruz has underachieved here. He may even be, I'm adding this, emblematic of this crap lineup that they've put around Paul Skeens. And the charge against him, Sean, and I'm adding this too, I'm editorializing here, is that, yeah, this guy would be great in a skills contest, but does he actually help you win baseball games? And now it's going to happen, a skills contest? Having said all that, well, I guess I understand where Pony's coming from. I am rooting for O'Neal Cruz. I'm going to be watching with my wife tonight, perhaps others, and I think it's going to be pretty cool, but I do hear what he's saying. Where do you fall on this?
I think it's fair to say that he's emblematic, I guess, in some ways of this era of baseball, but the issue is that they don't have 3 or 4 other players like him. There's as the only half-decent hitter with any real potential, maybe depending on how you feel about Nick Gonzalez, I suppose, who's in the majors right now. He takes an unfair amount of heat. Like he's fine. He's an okay Major League Baseball player, and they are in short supply on that roster. Like I get being frustrated by O'Neal Cruz. He's a phenomenal talent, and he is as frustrating a baseball player as we've seen here in a long time. So I get it, but this is about a failed roster construction. This is about organizational failure, and I think it's really unfair to pin it all on him, honestly. Let him go get his money. Go hit some 490-foot dingers that go 150 miles per hour and make $1 million and give us some good TV. Like I'm not going to root against that.
Me neither. I'm actually, if he does well, I think I'll enjoy it. Having said that, the home run derby is missing. It's like a lot of these. It's like the 3-point shooting contest in the NBA and things like that. It should be Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge and Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber and, you know, guys like that. Why is it? Why does it have to be like this? Why is all our fun ruined with these things? And why don't guys want to do it, Sean?
I don't know. Because there's money involved now. That was what people said for years about, you know, the dunk contest or the home run derby, is like you have to incentivize it and you have to make it worth their while and worth their time to participate. And in the derby, we have that now. So you would think if you're, you know, Pete Alonso or whoever else, like, come on out and win another $1 million, right? If you're Kyle Schwarber, like, why not? So yeah, it is. It's strange. As far as Cruz is concerned too, I get the annoyance, but you know, how many more guys in the league would you rather see in this particular environment, right? Like, I know that he's pretty far down the list, and I'm sure they asked Otani and Judge and got shut down out of hand on that. But I don't think you have to go too far down the list before you hit O'Neal Cruz as a guy who makes sense to have in this position and a guy
I do agree.
Actually want to watch.
Yeah.
Like he's, if nothing else, that guy's going to be good TV tonight, right? So I think it makes all the sense in the world to make him, in some regards, like Mac McClung, who's won the dunk contest for three consecutive years. The dude's a G League player, right? Like he's not an NBA player, but once every year you can rely on him showing up at All-Star and doing something cool. And if that's like the niche that O'Neal Cruz finds, like on a national level, I mean I'm fine with it. I'm certainly willing to pay attention to the Derby now. I was not 4 days ago. I couldn't have cared less. But now there's a chance, just because of what we know about him and what we know about his traits, that he could come in and do something cool. And that's enough for me. And I think that's generally enough for people watching TV tonight, too.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic, a Renaissance man, well-versed in many different topics, many different
right.
genres. You are. I feel like I can talk about anything with you. And so we talk about Pat McAfee next and Rob Manfred on the McAfee show today, saying, and I quote, "Pittsburgh, a great sports town, a lot of really passionate Pirates fans. They just want to look at the system and think that they have a fair chance to win. We need to deal with that issue." To which I say, get the blank out of here. Will you please stop patronizing? What about teams below the Pirates in payroll that are winning, like Milwaukee? Are they below the Pirates? Let me check total payroll here on SpotRack. They're around the they're two slots above the Pirates, and they're 56-40. Okay, Tampa Bay is 50-47. So is Cincinnati. They're sandwiched around the Pirates. Detroit doesn't exactly spend to the hilt here. They're 17th in payroll, and they have the best record in all of baseball. St. Louis spends less than they ever have, practically, at $135 million, and they're 51-46. Your thoughts?
Yeah, those teams spend sometimes. Like the Brewers, the Christian Yelich deal, right? Like they've signed stars, and they've opened up the purse, and they have, when the situation warrants it, you know, drop some coin on the product, on the on-field product at the major league level. And we there's no reason to believe that the Pirates are ever going to do that. And I was in the car this morning, you know, I heard the way you opened the show. Like, I completely agree with everything, every syllable and half syllable you expressed there. It's just if not now, when? when it comes to Skeens. And that's been the question since the summer. Like, if you don't have the urgency or the funds or the desire to do it every season that he's on the roster until he's not anymore, like, what are you actually doing? What's the point of all of this if you can't go out and sign someone better than the Tommy Pham's of the world to bolster the product? That's ultimately what it comes down to. Is like, this year, more than any, they've shown that even when the time comes for it, like, nutting is not going to pay. It's not going to happen. There's no reason to believe it. There's nothing that they've done that has suggested it until they give us some other reason, right? And they haven't done it. They don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. They don't deserve anybody's respect. It is an issue with the Pirates, primarily. Like, MLB is screwed in plenty of ways at the top. I'm not you know, debating that or questioning that.
Yeah.
But the Pirates' problems ultimately are their own. It's as much of an individualized issue as it is a structural issue. And it's honestly disgusting to watch. Like, I don't like talking about them. I don't like watching them. Watching Skeens is a depressing affair. Thinking about what's going to happen there over the next 3 years makes me sick to my stomach. I think a lot of people feel the same way. Seems like you do too.
Yeah, and I think that Major League Baseball is angling for a salary cap. The owners are angling for that. And I'm sensing now from Manfred going on that show and saying that I think he's going to use the Pirates as an example. Meanwhile, the Players Union, their deputy director, is also using the Pirates as an example, but in a different way, saying you want to complain about competitive balance, don't blame the Dodgers, blame the Pirates and teams like that. Can you spend a little bit more, please, to try to be competitive? Because there's teams all around you that are competitive with similar payrolls. Do you think Major League Baseball will get a salary cap? Is the union different enough than it used to be to where they can break it on that one?
I don't think so. Because ultimately the owners don't want one. Like Manfred can posture and patronize and say whatever he wants to whoever he wants. You can go and talk to Pat and say whatever he wants to say. The proof's in the pudding, and the owners don't want it. Like, Bob Nutting doesn't want a salary cap. And that's just brass tacks, what it comes down to. If the owners wanted it, it would have happened, and they don't, so it hasn't.
Do you think that?
And anything else is noise. Like, there's not going to be a salary cap. There's nothing. What has ever happened with that league outside of lip service nonsense like we got from Rob Manfred today that suggests that it's even a consideration? There's nothing.
I agree. And the reason that a lot of owners won't want one, well, some just want to spend to the hilt and spend as much as they want to try and win, and that's their advantage. But on the other end, you better believe if they ever did get a salary cap, it would come with a salary floor.
If you have a cap, you have a floor.
That's right.
And that's the single biggest impediment whenever we're talking about Bob Nutting or the people that own the Reds or whatever, all these teams that are problem franchises for MLB. Like it's all the same. Because if you cap baseball salaries at 200, like look at the NHL, the upper limit's $95 million, the cap, that's the salary cap limit in the NHL. The floor is like a little bit below 80, and teams are going to struggle to get there. We have teams in the NHL right now, after free agency, we're closer to playing games than not at this point.
Yeah.
And there's teams that are just not that are going to have to get creative and do some fugazi stuff when it comes to actually making it to the floor. And we would see that same thing happen in baseball. The Pirates would be at the bottom every single year, taking on deferred money contracts and taking on problem contracts for draft picks and whatever. You just end up in this whole other cycle, for the bottom feeders. And that's where they would be, regardless of the system that was in place.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Limits and I having an awful lot of problem pronouncing Penguins goalie names. So before we get into the significance of this, we saw Nedeljkovic traded. Is that a good pronunciation? Or I don't know, wherever he is, he's gone. Is that a good pronunciation for him?
I think he nailed it. And I don't think he can do much better than that.
Okay. Then let's go to Joel or Yoel Blomqvist. How do you say his first and last name?
I was going with Yoel Blomqvist.
Blomqvist?
Blomqvist.
Blomqvist. Okay. You want to try that one on for size limits?
Yoel Blomqvist?
No, Yoel Blomqvist.
Blomqvist.
Patrick Hornqvist.
Hornqvist.
I thought it was Yoel Blomqvist, and I would say it so fast to where some people can't really understand what I'm saying because I might be botching it.
So you are going with Yoel. We can't just say Joel? Or
I pronounce people's names the way that they want them to be pronounced.
Okay.
And I think
nobody pronounced Ole Matta's name the way he wanted it to. I went in that locker room and I said, how do you want people to say your last name? And he said, Matta. And everybody said, Ole Matta.
Yeah, people put some stank on the Finnish names for sure. Do you remember Simon Dupré?
Simon Depressed, yes.
How could we forget that? I remember in the press box, it was Jason Seidling, who's been with the Penguins.
It's Jason
forever.
Seedling.
Jason Seedling. He came and told us, like, hey, just so you guys know, Dupré, he wants you to pronounce his first name Simon. And I was like, Simon. It was who's on first, basically, with the pronunciation of an underachieving first round draft pick's first name. So whatever. I do my best. The NHL, one of the only things they do right is they provide pronunciation guides on the in the media and on the media site. So I just kind of look at that. The Carolina Hurricanes are really good at that. One of their media relations staff actually says the names out loud and gives you a recording of them. And I always appreciate that. So yeah, we could stand to do with a little bit more of that, especially as it relates to, you know, Nedeljkovic and Blomqvist and Artur Silov and all these goalie names. We're not done yet.
We have to get to Sergei Mirishov. Is that what we're going with here? Mirishov?
That sounds right. The emphasis on the Russian syllables can be kind of tough. I had that issue with Ivan Demidov, who's the Canadiens winger, who's just a total stud. He's going to win Rookie of the Year next season, almost certainly. But
it's tough.
The emphasis was not in the correct spot the first bunch of times.
All right, and then the guy they just got, Limits, was having enormous problems. You want to try that, Limits, and demonstrate for Sean first and last name?
Arturs Shivaj.
What?
I think I botched it. She loaves. I don't know. I can't get the last name right.
What's his name, Sean? What's this guy's name?
See, that's that St. E's and Baldwin Whitehall School District education.
Right.
Coming out of the Limits there. Arturs Shilov, I believe.
Shilov.
Shilov, okay.
I think the last S is silent, but don't hold me to that.
And they throw a silent S at you after you get it. The whole rest of the thing right, they throw a silent S. Is he any good? Is this portending a Tristan Jarry trade? Does this indicate dissatisfaction with Blomqvist? What is the meaning of this?
Silov is pretty good. Like he was incredible in the Calder Cup for Vancouver's AHL affiliate over the playoffs. He was great. He was great at world championships for Latvia. He's still only 24. Like he's a young dude. He's big, physically pretty talented. He's got some impressive, performances under his belt. He won a playoff round for them. Not this past season, but the one before that. He closed out the Nashville Predators and was.
So he's going to play. He's going to play. Who else is going to play?
That's a great question. I think you want Mirishov to have Mirishov or wherever we landed on that. You want him to play as much as possible. Like he's the most talented goaltender in the system is how everybody refers to him. I saw Yoey wrote that a couple of days ago, and that's certainly, you know, what I've gleaned from talking to other people as well. They love him. They love his potential. They love his physical traits. Like he's as good a chance as any to be the long-term answer there in net for them. So he needs to play. And if that means he starts in the AHL and Blomqvist backs him up, then so be it. But yeah, I look at it now, you know, I was surprised to see Silov moved because Vancouver has a long-term answer in Thatcher Demko there. They have a solid backup. Like he was going to move at some point. I was just surprised to see him end up here because he certainly looks like an NHL caliber goaltender. And also he is at the same time, he's of a type that I don't think you're going to put him in the AHL and have him take starts away from Mirishov. So it's interesting. It seems like they have a little bit of a musical chair situation where, you know, three spots for four goaltenders at this point. And, you know, there's still teams out there that need one. Everyone's looking at the Edmonton Oilers as a team that, desperately needs another option there. Even if it was someone like Silov's, and they haven't done anything. They didn't sign Jake Allen. They didn't trade for John Gibson. All these goalies that they were attached to, they've yet to really pull the trigger on any of them. So I look at a team like Pittsburgh that has all these, you know, has four pretty legit options in one way or another. And it seems like, you know, is there a deal to be made there? I don't know, but they're stocked pretty well stocked at the position, and for better or worse.
Thank you, Sean. Great stuff as always. We'll talk soon.
All right. Let's just cut out the hockey talk next time too entirely. We could have talked about the Warriors. I'm seeing the hat. We could have talked about Jonathan Kuminga trade proposal or something.
We will.
More interesting.
We will do that and more Caitlin Clark talk next time as well. Thank you, Sean.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, guys.
Wonderful man. Is he not, Limits?
Incredible. I didn't realize he had that much in his bag.
Eclectic. Yeah, he's got a bag, Eclectic. Doesn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Coming up, Limits is part, a very small part, but part nonetheless of a celebrity softball game tonight.
Yes.
I am not.
No.
Bordering on resentful toward that.
Why won't you go? You should go with me.
Let's talk about that next. I just might. Who's going to play? Cam Hayward, James Harrison, a lot of people from the station involved, but not me.